Last week we finished the 24 conditions. So today we are on page 622. How ignorance is a condition for formation. So these paragraphs describe in what way ignorance is related to different formations. So it is the application of the the 24 conditions to the doctrine of dependent origination. Now, I think you remember that there are different kinds of formations. Formations of merit, formations of demerit, and formations of imperturbable. So at least these three you should remember. If you don't remember, go back to paragraph 60. So, formations of merit means chetana, volition, concomitant with kusalas. Formation of demerit means chetana, concomitant with akusala. And formation of imperturbable means chetana, concomitant with full formless jhanas, arupava jhanas. So, ignorance is a condition for formation of merit in how many ways, formation of demerit in how many ways, and formation of imperturbable in how many ways. So, the first one, for those of merit, ignorance is a condition in two ways. It is a condition in two ways, namely as object condition and as decisive support condition. Not support, decisive support. Decisive support. So it is number 9, not number 8. For ignorance is a condition as object condition for formations of merit of the sense sphere at the time of comprehending by means of insight. Ignorance is liable to destruction and fall. And it is likewise for those of the fine material sphere, rupa vachara, at the time of knowing a confused mind by means of direct knowledge, consciousness, abhinya, through penetrating others' mind and so on. But it is a condition as decisive support condition in two cases, that is to say, for the sense sphere formation in one who, for the purpose of surmounting ignorance, fulfills the various instances of sense sphere, merit-making, consisting in giving, etc., and for the fine material sphere formation in one who arouses the fine material jhanas for the same purpose. Likewise, in one who affects the merit while aspiring to the delight of sense sphere becoming and fine material becoming, because he is confused by ignorance. Now, ignorance is unwholesome, akusala. So how is this related to kusala, see, formations of merit? So they cannot arise at the same time. But ignorance is a condition as object condition for formations. That means when the kusala chetas arise, they take ignorance as object. And then the kusala consciousness arise. So as an object condition and also as a decisive support condition. Now, decisive support conditions is very wide. So if you cannot think of any other condition, you can say that they are related by decisive support condition. You will almost always be right. So ignorance is related to formation of merit by two conditions, by two ways, as an object and as a decisive support. And then explanation follows. And then the next paragraph is a condition for demerit, akusala, how ignorance is related to akusala. Now, ignorance itself is akusala, and so there we can have what? Let's see. So as object condition at the time of arising of greed, etc., contingent upon ignorance. So ignorance can be object of the akusala consciousness. And as object predominance and object decisive support respectively at the times of giving importance to ignorance, that means taking ignorance firmly and enjoying it. And as decisive support in one who being confused by ignorance and unaware of danger kills living things, etc. And then what? Proximity, contiguity, proximity, decisive support, repetition, absence and disappearance for the second impulsion and those that follow. Now, you know there are 10 jhavana moments in a thought process. I mean, seven jhavana moments in a thought process. So, ignorance concomitant with the first jhavana is a condition for second, and then that concomitant with second to the third and so on, as proximity, contiguity, proximity, decisive support, that is the variety of decisive support, repetition, absence and disappearance. One jhavana is related to following jhavana by proximity, contiguity and so on, and also repetition, because they belong to the same genus. Kusala, both are akusala here. And then as root cause, cognizance, mutuality, support, association, presence and non-disappearance in one doing anything unprofitable. So that means they arise at the same time. And ignorance is related to the jetana arising together with it by way of cognizance, that's arising together, mutuality, support and so on. So here ignorance is related to, or is ignorance is a condition for formations of demerits in many ways. So in this chart they are given. So the first is conditioning, that is the condition. And then second column, conditions. And the third, conditions. So if you look at it, you understand easily. So ignorance is the condition for formations of merit by number 2 and number 9 conditions. So you have to refer to this page again and again for numbers 1, 2, 3, 4 and so on. And then ignorance is condition for formations of demerit by number 2, then aramana dibiti, that is a variety of 3, that is object decisive support. Then aramanupanisya, that is a variety of 9. And then 9, 4, 5. Anantarupanisya is a variety of 9. And then 12, 22, 23. And ignorance is a condition for formations of imperturbable by 9, by what? By 9 only. Oh, formations, ignorance to formations of divided also have Hetu, I mean the first one, root cause, cognizance and so on. And then the paragraph numbers are given in square brackets. So you can easily go back to path of purification. So this is how you read the book or look at the chart and then go back and forth. So for the imperturbable also, what condition? Only decisive support condition, because the conditioning factor is ignorance, and the conditioned states are formless jhana chaitas, or formless jhana volition. So it can only be through decisive support and no other, because they do not arise together, and so there can be no root cause or cognizance or mutuality and others. So this is how we apply the 24 conditions to the dependent origination. Only when we apply this to the dependent origination do we really understand it. Otherwise, our understanding is not perfect. So here we know that the first factor, the conditioning factor, and the conditioned factor, how they are related by way of any of these 24 conditions. And so when we see the conditions, we know that the conditioning factor and conditioned factor either arise at the same time or they arise at different times. And if they arise at the same time, then there can be a cognizance condition, mutuality condition, and so on. So in the chain of causation, sometimes the relationship is not as cause and effect, not as producer and produced, but just as helping each other, or one helping the other while arising at the same time. So sometimes the effect arises together with the cause or conditioning factor, and sometimes it doesn't. Now next group of paragraphs, beginning with 105. It is no single fruit from single cause. Now, in the formula, it is said that depending on avijja, there are formations. Depending on formations, there is consciousness. And so only one cause is mentioned in this formula. And so here, the question is ignorance the only condition for formations? Or are there other conditions? Then, if it is only one, there follows the assertion of a single cause, which is rejected in Buddhism. So Buddhism accepts multiple results from multiple causes. So if you say that the ignorance is the only condition for formations, then you are asserting that there is one cause only, or a single cause, and that is not accepted. But then if there are others, if there are many, then the description of it as a single cause in the formula is incorrect. If there are other causes, why did Buddha say just avijja, I mean just ignorance, just formations, just consciousness? The answer is, it is not incorrect. Why not? Here is the reason. And then it states that in the teachings of the Buddha, there is no single or multiple fruit of any kind from a single cause, nor a single fruit from multiple causes, but only multiple fruit from multiple causes. So this is the Buddhist standpoint. Many causes, many fruits. So from multiple cause, I think we can leave out soul. We can just say from multiple cause. In other words, from temperature, earth, seed, and moisture, it seems to arise in multiple fruit. In other words, the shoot, which has visible form, odor, taste, and so on. The sentence beginning with so, or if we take out so, from multiple cause is the explanation of sentence, previous sentence. So just as we see that the temp from temperature, earth, seed, and moisture, we see the fruit, or the fruit means here the result, the shoot, which is visible form, odor, taste, and so on. So from multiple causes arise multiple results. But one representative cause and fruit given in this way, with ignorance as condition, there are formations, with formations as condition, that is consciousness, have a meaning and a use. We always translate atta as meaning. I think we should say here, have a kind of benefit and a purpose. Although there are many causes, Buddha mentioned only one cause, and there is some purpose, that there is some benefit to be had from mentioning just one. One employs one representative cause and fruit when it is suitable for the sake of elegance in instruction and to suit the idiosyncrasies of those susceptible of being taught. So these are the two reasons we always have recourse to when we cannot give any other reason. Why Buddha say that there is depending on avijja sankhara arises, and not that depending on avijja and others sankhara arise? Then our answer is because of the elegance in instruction, because Buddha was the Lord of the Dharma, and so he had many ways of teaching, and also it is to suit the likes or dislikes of the listeners. So these are the two reasons.
In the Mahayana we have the term upaya.
Yes.
Skill and means.
Something like that.
Which is...
Yeah. Here we call it the susceptible of beings to be taught. That is, listeners are familiar with different terms and different likes and dislikes they have. So to suit them, sometimes Buddha taught only one cause, sometimes maybe two causes, and so on. Now, what is important is the next sentence. And he does so in some instances because it is a basic factor. Sometimes he gave only one cause, although there are many causes, because it is a basic factor or basic cause. And in some instances because it is the most obvious cause. And in some instances because it is not common to all. It is peculiar to that topic only. And then the next paragraph explains that in detail, pointing out the texts from the suttas. So in the passage with contact as condition, feeling, he mentions a single cause and fruit because they are basic factors. For contact is the basic cause of feeling, since the kinds of feeling are defined according to the kinds of contact, as eye contact born of feeling, born of eye contact, feeling born of ear contact, and so on. And feeling is contact's basic fruit, since contact is defined according to the kinds of feeling that it produces. That is one thing. He mentions a single cause in the passage, disease due to phlegm, because that is the most obvious. But there are other causes too, like karma. So for here, what is obvious is the phlegm, not the karma, etc. Karma and climate and others, mentioned later in the same sutta. He mentioned a single cause in the passage because any states whatever that are unprofitable are all rooted in unwise attention because it is not common to all. Now here, unwise attention is given as a cause or the root of what is unprofitable, root of akusala. So here, unwise attention is given because it is not common to all. It is peculiar to akusala only. So the next sentence doesn't give that meaning. For unwise attention to unprofitable things, is not common to all states in the way that, say, physical basis and object are common to all. Actually, what it means is unwise attention is an uncommon cause for unprofitable states, or peculiar cause for unprofitable states. Now, when unprofitable states arise, they arise due to the unwise attention, and also they arise depending on the objects, depending on the senses. So objects and senses are also conditioned for the akusala to arise. And also, yeah, physical basis means senses. But they are not peculiar to akusala only. So you see something and you have the eye consciousness, and that is not akusala. And even though you see something and you later on at the jhavana moment you may have kusala consciousness. So the object and the senses are not peculiar causes for eye consciousness to arise or consciousness to arise. They are common. But the unwise attention is a peculiar cause for akusala. So if we have unwise attention, we will have akusala jhavana. If we have wise attention, we will have kusala jhavana. So we see something and sometimes we have kusala or we have akusala. That depends on whether we have wise attention or unwise attention. So here, for unwise attention is the uncommon cause for unprofitable states. We should say like that. Not unwise attention to unprofitable things. Buddha said unwise attention is all unprofitable are rooted in unwise attention. So they are caused by unwise attention. Although they need other conditions to arise, that is physical basis and object. So physical basis and object are common causes for kusala, both kusala and akusala. But the unwise attention is a cause for akusala only. Consequently, although other causes of formation such as physical basis and object, cognizant states, etc. actually exist, and still ignorance may be understood as the representative cause of formations, firstly because it is the basic factor, or this is the application of that to the present topic. So here ignorance is mentioned alone because it is the basic factor as the cause of other causes of formation such as craving, etc. As it is said, craving increases in one who dwells seeing enjoyment. And with the arising of ignorance, there is the arising of kankas. And again, because it is the most obvious in the passage, not knowing because in ignorance he forms the formation of merit. And lastly, because it is not common to all. So the use of one representative cause and fruit should in each instance be understood according to this explanation of it. So avijja, I mean ignorance, is mentioned alone because it is a representative cause of formations, and because it is the most obvious, and because it is uncommon. Now the word you see the footnote number, this explanation of it. And the Pali word is parihara vachana, down in the footnote. And it is, the translation is given as explanation. Actually, parihara means, parihara, literally it means doing away with the question, or avoidance of the question. Avoidance means actually not running away from it, but doing away with it, or when you give answer, you are what do you call, getting rid of the question, something like that. So simply it may mean a reply or an answer, not the explanation actually. Because when some in a debate, say when someone says something, then you have to avoid it, or you have to get yourself away from it by giving answers or reply. So this answer or this reply. Here it may be asked, we admit that what you said above. But ignorance is reprehensible and has entirely undesirable fruit. How then can it rightly be a condition for formations of merit and of the imperturbable? Sugarcane does not grow from bitter nimble seeds. Why should it not be right? For in the world, that is, even among thinkers outside the dispensation, it is recognized that both as opposed and unopposed and so on. Now, you know what nimba is? N-I-M-B-A. It's not an English word. It's a kind of tree. I haven't seen the tree in this country. It grows in tropical countries. It's small, long leaves, and its taste is bitter. Leaves as well as the fruit is bitter, and also the branches, the wood is also bitter. And in the East, monks use the branches of the tree for toothbrush. Have you seen tooth sticks monks use? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mostly those are made of that tree. Because since it is bitter and maybe a little hard, it has some medicinal properties. To protect the teeth from decaying. So.
Sometimes I've seen kind of a licorice flavor. That's not it?
No.
Not a licorice.
it's bitter.
It's
in Hindi it's called neem. N-E-E-M. The same word, the Pali word is nimba, Sanskrit word is nimba, but Hindi is neem, from nimba. There is some kind of soul which is made with the essence of that tree. So, whenever something bitter is to be pointed out, the commentators use this nimba. So sugarcane does not grow from nimba seeds. And then the answer is that the conditioning and conditioned, or cause and result, are sometimes opposed to each other, or they are unopposed, and also they may be like or they may be unlike. And that does not make their result. Actually, that does not make their result only. We need only here. That means those that are conditioned are not results only. And in order to understand it, you must understand the word, the Pali word for the word result here. And the Pali word is vipaka. Vipaka result means the real product of karma, in the form of chetas and chetasikas, not rupas, just chetas and chetasikas. You know, the vipaka chetas, the resultant consciousness. So there are 37 or 52 resultant consciousness, and 89 or 121 types of consciousness. They alone are called vipaka. So here, that does not make it their result only, or they are not results only. That means they are not vipaka only. Some are vipaka and some are not vipaka, but they are conditioned. So it is established in the world that when states are reconditioned, it may be opposed or unopposed to them as to presence, individual essence, function, and so on. For a preceding consciousness is a condition opposed as to presence for the succeeding consciousness. So, say number one consciousness is a condition for number two consciousness. But it is opposed to number two as to presence. That means when number two arises, number one is no longer there. So one is absent and one is present. So they are opposed as to presence. And the preceding training is conditioned likewise for the flying of craft, etc., which take place subsequently. So you learn something now and you get the results later. Karma is a condition opposed as to individual essence for materiality. There are some material properties caused by karma, and they are cause and effect, or condition and effect, but they are opposed as to individual essence, because karma is a nama and materiality is rupa, so their individual essence is different. And so are milk, etc., for curd and so on. Light is a condition opposed as to function for eye consciousness. Now, light is one condition for the arising of eye consciousness, seeing consciousness. When there is no light, you cannot see. So light is a condition. But as to function, light and eye consciousness are different. Say, light is a function of dispelling darkness, and eye consciousness is a function of knowing the object. So their function is different. And so are molasses, etc., for intoxicants and so on. But eye, computable data, etc., are respectively a condition, and opposed as to presence, for eye consciousness and so on. And the first impulsion, the first jhana, and those that follow are a condition, and opposed as to individual essence and function, for the impulsions that follow them and so on. So there are conditions and those that are conditioned, which are sometimes opposed, which sometimes not opposed, which are like and which are sometimes not like. And they are not vipakas only. Some are vipakas and some are not. So materiality, for example, temperature and nutriment, is a condition for materiality. The like for the like. And so are petty seeds, etc., for petty crops and so on. The materiality is a condition for the immaterial. And so is the immaterial for the material, the unlike for the unlike. And so are ox hair, ram's hair, horns, curd, and sesame flower, etc., respectively for dubba grass, not dubba, D-U-B-B-A, dubba grass, neat bhutinaka grass, and so on. And then you have the footnote. And at the end of the footnote, the Nyanamoli said, except for the last mentioned, it seems problematical why these things, if rightly interpreted, should be conditions for the things mentioned. Maybe they believe that way then, and we don't really know. Now, here, ox hair and ram's hair, that is one unit. Horns, second unit. Curd and sesame flower, third unit. And they are connected respectively with dubba grass, and one grass is missing here. So let's say respectively for dubba grass, I brought eru grass and bhutinaka grass. We don't need the word needs. We have to strike it out. So, respectively for dubba grass, eru grass, and bhutinaka grass. Maybe when there are ox hair and ram's hair, the grass called dubba grass grow there. Maybe grow abundantly. And the second is eru grass. I don't know what eru grass means. All of these are difficult to understand. Buddhinaga grass is translated in Burmese as fragrant grass. Maybe grass which has some smell, some good smell. So these are conditions for those kinds of grass. So when there are horns, and the arrow grass grow, and when there are curd and sesame flower, the Buddhinaga grass grow, and so on. And those states of which these are the opposed and unopposed, like and unlike conditions, are not the result, not the vibhagas of these states as well. They are not the vibhagas, but they are conditioned by the others. So although this ignorance is entirely undesirable fruit for its result and is reprehensible in its individual essence, yet it should be understood as a condition, opposed or unopposed and like or unlike, as the case may be, to the presence, function and individual essence for all these formations of merit and so on. So they can be, ignorance can be the condition for both formations of merit, formations of demerit, and formations of impadabhava. And then the next paragraph. Moreover, there is this way of explanation as well. And here explanation is that if you are ignorant of, if you do not know correctly about death and reappearance, that is patisandhi, rebirth and round of rebirth and the dependent origination, then you do these formations because of ignorance of death, because of reappearance or rebirth. So you do sometimes good formations, sometimes bad formations. So the first one. Firstly, when he is confused about death, instead of taking death thus, death in every case is breakup of aggregates, he figures that it is a lasting being that dies, that it is a lasting being's transmigration to another incarnation, and so on. When he is confused about reappearance, that is patisandhi, instead of taking rebirth thus, and so on. So if you have ignorance about death, reappearance, and then round of rebirth, and then characteristic of formations, and dependently arisen state, then you do kusala and akusala formations. Now, the verse given on page 626 is often quoted when you want to explain what samsara is. So samsara is the endless chain of aggregates of elements, of basis to, that carries on unbrokenly, is what is called the round of rebirth. So this is the definition of samsara. Samsara is just endless chain of, or endless arising and disappearing of, aggregates, elements, basis, and others. Now, about 1, 2, 3, 4th line below that verse, there is a, let's see, paragraph 116. When he is confused about the characteristic of formations, instead of apprehending their specific and general characteristics, he figures that formations are self and so on. Now, there are two kinds of characteristics now, specific and general. Specific means, say, matter has the characteristic of being molested or characteristic of change, and that is specific characteristic. And then, let's say, feeling. Feeling has the characteristic of enjoying the object or experiencing the object. That is its specific characteristic. Then what is their general characteristic? That means impermanence, suffering, and no soul. So general characteristic means characteristics common to all phenomena, and specific characteristic is their own individual essence. So if you are ignorant about the characteristic of formations, then you take things to be self, to belong to a self, and to be lasting, to be pleasant, and to be beautiful. And when he is confused about dependently arisen state, that is, dependent origination, instead of taking the occurrence of formations to be due to ignorance, etc., he figures that it is a self that knows or does not know, that acts and causes action, and so on. So, blinded by ignorance, so we do different sort of things, good formations and bad formations. Now, down the page, consciousness. Due to formations, there is consciousness. Now, the 32 kinds of mundane result in consciousness. So, in the chart, let's look at two. Conditioned by formations, consciousness arises, right? And consciousness means 32 lokiya vipaka cetas, mundane resultant consciousness, 32. And they are mentioned in paragraph 120. Now, there are a lot of numbers here, and the author says, see table 2 for bracketed numbers that follow. So you have to look at table 2 at the end of the book. But in brief, they are just the resultant consciousness belonging to mundane sphere. So you can look at the chart and then try to find out what these types of consciousness are. And then 121. Here it may be asked, but how is it to be known that this consciousness of the kind stated actually has formations as its condition? But the answer is, because there is no karma result when there is no stored up karma. Not very convincing, but it is the way the commentator always tried to explain. And then, paragraph 122, but which kind of consciousness has which kind of formations as its condition? So now there are formations and there are types of consciousness. So which kind of formation causes which kind of consciousness? And then the resultant types of consciousness are given here. The following 16 kinds arise and so on. I think you can find them out from the chart. Then, so paragraph 122 is for kama vajra, and then 123 is for rupa vajra, fine material sphere, and 124 is for what? Demerit, akusala. And then 125 is for arupa vajra. And then the occurrence of resultant consciousness. Now this resultant consciousness all occurs in two ways, namely A, in the course of an individual existence or continuity, and B, at the rebirth linking moment. So the first is what? Individual existence or continuity, and B is rebirth linking. Now, the very moment of rebirth linking is taken as rebirth linking here. So after that moment, the whole life is called continuity. And when karma gives results, it gives results at the moment of relinking and also during life. So when we ascertain the results of karma, then we have to understand what kind of result is given at the moment of relinking and what kind of result in the course of life. So there are two kinds of giving results. And here and there are two fivefold consciousness and so on, they are given here. Now, do you know what this A, B, and then with others, D, H, and so on in other paragraphs? Why, what do they represent? Do you remember them? We have A and B here, right? Mm-hmm. Then on the next page, paragraph 127, we have D to H. And then in paragraph 128, we have I. And then 129, we have J, B, M. What are they? Now, go back to page 513. What do you find there? Functions, right? Names of functions, A, B, C, D, and so on. So he is referring to those. It's very helpful. If you know what they mean. So these types of consciousness are...